is Dominic, wedding DJ.
And this is Serena, wedding planner.
And together we are
the wedding duo.
We are here to talk all things weddings.
Planning a wedding can be stressful, but we are here to help.
So before you say, that's it, we're going to Vegas, don't go to Vegas.
Let's have some fun.
Join us as we answer your wedding questions and help navigate planning one of the biggest days of your life with
the wedding duo. And we are back.
Hello.
So excited because I'm wearing lipstick today, first of all, and that's like rare these days, right?
It's lovely.
Well, we've just been scrambling because, you know, here in Texas, and we've mentioned this before, it's kind of a split wedding season and the fall is upon us, right? So September 1st, we hit the ground running with many events, multiple events each weekend. And there's a lot of prep work. So you can imagine that those weeks leading up to September for us are crazy.
Can't just parachute into a wedding and be like, so what are we doing? We got a celebration here?
Yeah. And that
we need to be ready and prepared because we are
professionals.
And that kind of leads us into what we're talking about today.
It does. So today's topic is we're going to cover what it means to hire professionals versus what we're going to call frienders, your friends or family, doing the service in any given category. Okay. So just our experience in what we've seen, because we have been to events where it's wall-to-wall professionals, and we have been to events where we are the only professional.
Many times, yes.
Yeah, where, you know, as you've mentioned, there's, you know, someone doing barbecue and Aunt Betty is the planner and
your cousins taking pictures.
Right.
But why do people do it?
For the budget.
Budget. Everybody out there is listening like, yeah, newsflash, weddings are expensive. And it's so easy to go in with a in your head, like, here's what we're going to spend. Let's stick to it. And then you're two vendors in and you're like, oh my gosh, it's been blasted out of the water because it's expensive. And everybody, I think, would want to have multiple professionals
exactly
in every category, the best of the best, the cream of the crop, but it's just not in the cards. It's not in the budget because you'll be paying off your wedding on your 25th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And that's not the goal. So everybody's going to have their own budget.
Yes.
Right.
And that's a good point. So we are not trying to discourage you in any way from utilizing maybe friends or family that are willing to donate their services. We are just trying to cover what that means or may mean for your event and for you as you go through the planning process and then also on the day of the wedding.
And so just some questions to ask because this is what happens is you start saying, like, let's say the bride is showing her groom, for example, hey, look at this photographer. And he's like, how much? And he's like, dude, I got somebody I work with. He does it. He's a photographer. And then you're like, okay. Like,
yeah.
And then you just like, what is that? Like, what is that going to look like?
Yes.
That's great. You're going to save a ton of money, but how heartbroken will you be when you get your pictures back?
Yeah.
And they're awful because that happens all the time.
It does. And
again, not trying to discourage anybody, but just there's some questions you want to ask, you know?
You do. You want to have those conversations. But I will say part of why this is challenging is if you are trying to save money in any given category and someone does offer to do whatever it may be, it changes the dynamics of how you are then able to, you know, go about requesting certain things or, you know, putting up boundaries for things. So what I mean by that is, say, for example, let's use the photographer, for example, again. You have a really long list, shot list. You want specific photos. You want a specific editing style. But if you get that service donated, it's a little bit more challenging to say
demand stuff.
Yeah. Like it changes the way you can have those conversations.
It does, yeah.
You know, because if
you might have guilt, like, you know, oh, I'd hate to ask because they're doing it for free or they're doing it for a discount or they're doing it for next to nothing.
So it changes that for you.
And the person on the other side, what if they're just grumpy and they roll their eyes every time you ask them and they're like, and they're in this mindset where they're like, I never should have done this for free. You know,
Well, we hope that's not the case.
But you don't know the person on the other side. Maybe you do, but you don't know what they're like. If they're just somebody that's like, oh my gosh, I would love to. I mean, that would be such an honor for me to gift that to you for your wedding day. that's not the person that's going to be upset.
Well, I would say if the person is going to be the person that's going to be upset, don't do it. Well, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't always know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, we're going to go in with the mindset that these people are donating their services and they're happy to do that.
Yes.
So that's let's a good eliminate question. That's that what
I'm
category.
The scenario I mentioned happens too. You know, we went with a friend of my fiance's or my cousin who had knew a guy, and there's somebody, everybody knows a guy, right? Or a girl. Oh, I know somebody. Like, okay.
But what does that mean, right?
What does that mean?
So yeah. So we started with photo, and the reason I think it's easy to talk about photography is because it happens a lot with photographers. And that's because there's a lot of hobbyists out there, right? There's people that maybe don't do it professionally, but they have taken photos of the family in the past, or they've done, you know, their maternity shoots or whatever, but it's not the same as a wedding.
Absolutely. That's the first question to ask is what kind of photography do they do? Do they do family portraits? Do they do sports photography? Boudoir, perhaps? Mm-hmm. But if they have never done a wedding, just like everything else, a wedding is its own entity. Not to say they can't do it, but if somebody says, I do weddings, and you're like, oh, okay, good. And here's all the weddings I've done. They can probably show you some of their work, right? But if they've only done headshots,
It's not the same.
It's not the same thing because the weddings have a flow. They have a pace. There's not an unlimited time for them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So the main thing to ask photographers, can I see your work?
Right? Yes.
That's the first thing I would say.
Even if it's someone that's going to do it for you pro bono, or, you know, you're paying, you know, in food or whatever it is, right? Like, maybe you just want to make sure, because you don't want to have, as we mentioned before, that regret down the road that the pictures do not look anything like what you thought they might. And that's a real thing. So the other thing we kind of touched on too, that's important, especially with photographers, is are they able to handle a wedding? And what I mean by that is if you have, just for example, here in Texas, sometimes we get these really large bridal parties, right? And then we've got these large extended families. So you may have 40, 50 people you're trying to organize in an hour's time after the ceremony to get all the pictures that you want. And you've got to have the right personality who knows how to organize that and can take control in a lot of ways. And then also get the shots you were asking for.
Yeah, because people come to weddings that don't come to backyard barbecues and birthday parties. So everybody's there. Grandma's there. The next generation is there. You want those pictures where everybody's in the same shot, right? Those are the ones that you're going to look at, and your great-grandkids are going to look at in 200 years and say, oh, look, that's Aunt Betty. That's Uncle Charlie before, you know what? So you want those pictures. You want the wedding party. The couple wants all their shots. You know, do you want the couple shots? But even beyond that, like, because you're right, because even the photographers that are professional, if they're really timid, they're like, okay, can we get the Johnson family? I'm like, girl, you got an hour. You better get them in there, because we're doing introductions here and time is ticking. Photography is an art, right? I mean, they have a style. And that's what a lot of people, when you're looking for a photographer, you look at their portfolio, you look at their website, and you're like, I'm not digging what they do. Even though the next person might be like, oh my gosh, just the greatest. And they're really popular, but you're like, I'm not seeing it, you know?
Yeah.
But then somebody else who's an up-and-comer, who's less expensive, who's new, and you're like, oh, I just love what they do. And for whatever reason, it just clicks with you and not with the other person. So the fact that it's like the one person that works with your fiance is doing it for free, like you want to look and see, because that's their style. That's what they do, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
Good or bad or indifferent.
Yeah. And because there's two sides to it, right? It's day of, so it's how do they manage their time and, you know, get the pictures that are needed day of. But then it's also the afterwards. It's the editing. There's a lot of that work beyond wedding day.
I always say when I'm done, I put my speakers down, put my toys away, and I leave. And I'm like, that's great. I'm done. And the photographer's like, and the videographers are like, I'm maybe a third of the way done.
Yeah.
They still have all the editing and the work after. It's very time consuming, and it is work. So, and that's why when somebody says they'll do it for free, I'm like, okay, but it's a lot of
you
work.
May not get edits. I've had
just the raw footage.
A long time ago, I remember very clearly a wedding where it was a friend of the family, and they were shooting, and they were taking pictures, and you were going to get pictures, but that you weren't getting any edits, right? There was no, you know, editing style. You were just getting basically what you could have taken on your phone. So,
and that's what people say, man, it's expensive. That's really where
a lot of the
time and the effort that goes into it, and their skill set on editing is a huge part of what you're hiring, right?
Right.
And a lot of times they bring a second shooter because, again, they can only be in one spot at one time. Mm-hmm. The videographers can set up a still camera and say, record, and they can move and still have a mobile
But
spot.
Even they bring two people.
But even often, they bring two people yeah. very often. But they can do that and have two cameras going at the same time. A photographer can't do that. They can't be in two places at one time. And even if their second shooter at some point is just like, got the checklist, the shot list, I'm like, okay, who's next? Groom side, get in there. Like, where's everybody? Like, don't go away. Mm-hmm. Get the wedding party. Hey, I'm going to finish these shots. Go get the wedding party. Go get the bridesmaids. That's, man, there's a lot going on and it needs to be like fluid.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be said for having that help. So let's move on, then touch a little bit on video.
Wait,
so,
before we do, what? Photographers, if there's a photographer out there listening, every time somebody comes up to me and starts looking at, hey, what microphone you got there? What program you running, right? And they're like, I used to be a DJ. I'm like, did you? Okay. Nothing is worse than a photographer. Everybody that has ever bought a photographer, bought a camera or a lens, like, what lens you got there? I mean, everybody is a expert photographer. So for all you photographers out there, sorry. Because I see it occasionally. Somebody used to be a DJ, or I DJ myself. And maybe they do. Maybe they, that's great. It's an interesting conversation. But nothing like photography. They get it worse.
There's a lot. So to touch on video just briefly, it comes up a lot that couples are on the fence on whether they're going to have video or not have video.
Because budget. Usually because they're also expensive often.
They are. And this conversation today is not whether or not to do that. But something that came up for me recently that's really interesting, that it's like a new trend, is this whole content creator category. And what that is, if you guys don't know, is it's somebody who's going to be there, another vendor, not necessarily a professional photographer, but they're going to capture video and stills to post to your socials so that real time people are going to be seeing stuff and they'll have some of that for you. So that's something to consider. But when it comes to getting video, I would say what's nice, if you're not going to have a professional videographer, is maybe you do just have someone record the ceremony at least, right? Because that is something that it'll be a blur for you, right? Standing up there. And so it's really nice to be able to listen and watch and see what happened. So even if it's not from the professional perspective, you know, sure, you may ask just someone to stand in the back and record. That's just a little thing that I've seen.
However, the professionals, I mean, yes, if you've never gone back and seen somebody's wedding video, you're just like, oh my God.
It's unbelievable.
They're geniuses. They're like, they're artists. Yeah, it's a movie and you're the star, because to her point, it goes by in a blur. Mm-hmm. And if you have a great video, you can go back and relive the day and be like, oh my gosh, it was such a great day. The stills are great. You're never going to not want the stills, the photography, but video, man, if it's in the budget,
yeah,
it's fantastic.
It's really wonderful.
It is so similar to photography. You're going to see different styles. There's a ton of work after the day. The editing, they might do more than photography. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Editing a video is a lot.
Because then they bring in music as well. And it's a whole, it's brilliant. I mean, it's amazing what they can do.
Yeah. And so that, to our point of today's topic, you know, professionals versus frienders, you may have someone who does YouTube, right? Okay, let's just say your friend is on YouTube and they know how to edit. But have they done a wedding? Like, do they know what kind of shots to get or how to cue you to get those moments, you know? So that, again, that's all we're talking about here, is the difference between being a professional wedding vendor and having someone who maybe has that skill, but it's not necessarily in weddings.
But let's talk about where we can pick up some of this slack. Let's talk about our categories for a second.
Okay.
If you, let's say you hired a professional DJ or you hired a professional planner, but you've got a friend or somebody else doing the video and the photography. I can tell you how many times where they say like, oh, I'm just a friend. I'm like, are you, she goes, yeah, she asked me to take some video. I'm like, okay, here's what's happening. I'm bringing them in from this door, this for introductions. I'm bringing them in here. I'm going to have them come over here and line up. I think this might be a good spot, but what do you think? Yeah. And they go, oh, okay. Because they might be looking at this door and then they suddenly, oh, nobody told me. They're not even coming in that door. They're coming in the other door. And then they're running around. Their light's in the wrong spot. I do that with the professionals. Like, I'd make sure every video and photographer knows. If the planner hasn't told them, or even if they have, I'd rather them hear it twice than not at all. But I want the photographer and the videographer, or photographers, video, to be very aware of what's happening. I was like, we're doing introductions. I'm going to have them here. I'm going to say one more time for the bride and groom. I'm going to have wedding party take her seat. We're doing the first dance. Then I'm going to have the bride and groom sit down, and then we're doing a blessing from the head table, and then we eat. So they get a chance to regroup, but they need to know angles, positions, lighting. Like they need to know, just like if it's your friend, we can help pick up some of that slack and set them up for success. A good planner or a good DJ.
Right. But we can't make up for their lack of experience. No, I get what you're saying. Like maybe you want to communicate to whoever's helping and say, hey, check in with the DJ, check in with the planner, like let them know that's okay. But yeah, we've got our own jobs.
Absolutely. But again, I do that job with anybody and everybody. But if you have a DJ that just sits back there with their headphones on and is not involved, or a planner that just sets up everything and then, okay, I did my job, it's all set up, but then not really in the weeds doing it, because I've worked with all sorts of different planners and I hear all the nightmares about the DJs that aren't involved. But if you have that, if you are able, if it's in the budget to have one professional, because I've showed up at weddings, like you said, where I'm like, okay, I am the only professional here. And I'm like, I just take it upon myself saying, I'm going to take the reins and help everybody else make sure, because I've seen a 1,000 weddings, right? I may be creeping up on 2,000. That's a lot of experience. Whereas somebody else is like, I've never shot a wedding
before. But that's also, you're only speaking to your experience and what you're willing to do. We want to make sure that we're clear that like, your vendors are hired in their vendor category, and you really can't expect them to go too far outside of that, because they're doing their job and they need to do it well, right?
But you can ask if they want, if the photographer wouldn't mind helping with just a basic timeline, if you don't have a planner.
No.
I mean, they've done it. I've had photographers send me their timeline. I go, well, this is different than the one the planner. We need to all be on the same page.
But they do it for their own benefit, right? They do it because they need to know those things. And it's good. Absolutely. I think when I see a photographer that knows how to put together a timeline, I think that's great. But I guess I don't want to put the message out there that
you can't
expect your DJ to run your entire event.
No.
Okay.
But having said that, I compete with an uncle with an iPod all the time.
Yes. So if you're going to be considering possibly cutting costs for your DJ, right? I've seen in a lot of Facebook groups recently, some conversations about just that they're going to put together a Spotify playlist, that they're going to have a friend, keep an eye on it and what have you. This cannot be more two ends of the spectrum than anything, right? Because, and I'm not saying you can't have a good party and have the music you want and all of that. It's just not the same as also then having someone who will be a host, who will make the proper announcements, who will increase the energy and, change kind of the pace of the event because they are, positive and they're hyping up your crowd. It's just very different.
I think really. And even like you have a friend that's a club DJ and a wedding DJ, there's a lot of overlap, like I've said many times, but there's still their own skill set. And again, if you are a club DJ and you've never done a wedding, you will have your eyes open wide. And just like I would, if I just dropped in a club, I mean, depending on what club it is it a dance hall? Is it an R&B club? Is it a, is it an oldies? I don't know, but I mean,
it'd be overwhelming.
I mean, I think I can still do it because I can read the crowd, and know what I'm walking into, but it's just a very different animal. And I can tell you and that's when people say like, oh, my DJ didn't MC. Like, what, was he a wedding DJ? Because if you go to their website and you see wedding DJ, and you look at reviews or whatever, that's part of the job.
Assumed, yeah. And so when we're talking about, though, friends or family helping in this category, there's a lot of prep work if you want it to have the chance at going smoothly, right? Mm-hmm. You really have to talk about timing and the specific songs that you want played, especially for the ceremony, right? Because there's no chance to do it over. You get that one shot at 30 minutes of a ceremony and, you're going down the aisle for a minute. That's all you get. And so if they miss the cue or they forgot to take the ads off the, Spotify,
or they're playing it off YouTube
subscription.
And then as you get the altar, like, hey, make sure to hit that like button. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. The subscribe below.
So there's extra work involved up front for y'all, obviously. Right. But that's probably with any more DIY vendor.
The other thing that happens a lot now, and this is more of a current problem, is like they don't have the library. So they want to stream everything. They get to this venue and it's off the beaten path and there's no internet, or the internet's spotty.
Yes.
And everybody else, there's 200 people that are also on the internet. Yeah. Or if they even brought a hotspot, but
right.
your hotspot can only do so much if you're way out in the wilderness or way off the beaten path. And now your first dance is buffering and it's like cutting out. And and so ceremony is one thing, but yeah, your first dance and it's,
or the dance party. You don't want like pauses or, you know, skipping songs.
And that
like,
happens. I get these emails from these vendors or these venues and they say, FYI, we don't have internet here. And I'm like, oh, that's not for me. I bring my entire, I bring all the music. Like it's downloaded. There is no streaming. There's no, there. It's, I have
some,
the song.
I mean, if someone comes up and requests something that you don't have, for example, we try to download it. I'm not, you know, we have that capability, but that shouldn't be what you're relying on.
No. And that if I don't have, it's very rare when somebody comes up and they go, even if it's old, like, yeah, I bet you don't have that old Conway Twitty. I go, I bet you I do, you know, because I've just been doing this a long time and I've compiled this ridiculous library. But it is like, if there's the newest one or the most recent, or it's right out of the gates. Yeah, I might have to tell them, I'm sorry, I don't have it, but I will have something else from that artist or something very similar. But it's not like your whole library is, I'm counting on Spotify or streaming service to do it. And boy, that is a recipe for disaster right there.
So let's go into my category.
Because yes, this because comes that's up, a big one.
This is a big one, right?
A very commonly filled by mom, maid of honor, Aunt Betty category.
Right. Very the planner common. Or the coordinator, right? Because here's the thing. I'm not here to say that your mom or your aunt, or if you're a mom out there listening, that you can't plan or execute a successful event. That's not, that can happen. But what are you giving up? This is the biggest piece, right? You will be in a different role than mother of the bride. You will be planner of the bride. And that means you can't, in some instances, be available. Yeah, be available for certain things where you wish you could just be talking to your family that came in from out of state, or having a drink with your sister who you haven't seen. And, you know, whatever it is, right? That is what you are giving up.
We have, when we do these wedding fairs, and I may have said this before because you always tell me, you say the same thing over and over.
You've said a few things this podcast already.
Hey, but it's relevant. So, and if you haven't heard that podcast, you're hearing it now. But we have, let's say we're at a wedding fair and mom comes walking up with her second daughter.
Oh, yes.
And she says, I did everything for her older sister's wedding. I am not doing that. I'm hiring a coordinator because I didn't enjoy myself. I was just running around the whole night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just not fun.
So whoever this person may be, whether they're family or, you know, a friend, just realize that that is what they're taking on. Mm-hmm. If they are committed to giving you the wedding that you want and being there in all those ways, they just also can't be a guest, you know? So,
well, and what is their experience? Do they have experience doing it? So it's not even they won't enjoy it. But will they do a good job? You know, that's a whole given. Thing too. Is like, are they able to run your event? And even if somebody says like, oh, my aunt, she's a corporate planner, you know, corporate is different. I always know in this corporate event when they send me this, like, here's the run of show. And I go, oh, okay, you do corporate stuff, which is no, different not big, title, a big difference, but generally in the wedding world, we call it a timeline versus run a show. And I've done lots of corporate stuff and there's plenty of similarities about running an event. But again, a wedding is its own.
Yeah. There's things you do, obviously, at a wedding that you don't do at a gala. You know?
I was just going to say, if a wedding planner is trying to do a gala, that's a different animal, too. There's similarities, there's overlap, and I'm sure they could do a good job if you are, you know, savvy.
It's probably a better person to do your event
absolutely.
Than your cousin who's never done one.
Yes.
So that's something to consider. But this is all just to say that, like, your family or your friends that love you and care about you, they, you know, may want to volunteer this, but do they know what they're getting into? And then, you know, on the day of, like, are they regretting it? Do you want that for them, right? Like, are they there, like, overwhelmed and feeling like, oh my gosh, like, all this pressure? Because the wedding industry, I always say, is high pressure, but it's high reward, right? Like, that's what we do. We have this one day to make wonderful for people. And that's why it's high pressure, but it's high reward in the sense that I find it very gratifying to see our couples, you know, just having the wedding of their dreams. So yeah, just keep that in mind.
But the other thing is like, what, and we've said this before too, what is your focus. If you're foodies and you really want this elegant three-course meal, don't have the groom's dad wheel out the barbecue and think he can flip burgers all night. And because I have that exact scenario has happened as well. And dad, nobody saw dad all night. He had his apron on. He was back there thinking he could make burgers and chicken for everybody, or steak. I think it was steak and chicken for 200 guests.
Yeah.
He spent all day prepping and then preparing and then cleaning up. He was not at that party. He was MIA the entire party. So maybe it's like, we're not really dancers. Cousin can pluck in his iPod or his phone or his whatever, because we don't care. We're just background music. We're just going to sit and drink and talk.
But we want a good meal. Yeah.
The opposite of that is they're like, they can have peanut butter and jelly. I don't care. I want to have a good dance party. Maybe your budget goes toward the DJ. Mm-hmm. Or I just want that one person over the top to make sure it all goes nicely. Maybe I want to invest in a planner or coordinator. Plus some venues require you to do that. So check on that as well.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the catering then. You touched on that. And we've talked about this in previous episodes. Your guest count is always a huge factor in this stuff. And so catering is one in particular, right? It's been popular in recent years to do something like food trucks, for example. And if you have 50 or under people, I think that's fine. Or if you want to just do like a late night snack food truck or something. But to do an entire full service meal out of a food truck that's used to going to like the street fair is just not realistic in a timely manner, right? So, you know, it's not even friends and family. It's knowing what your vendors can handle. And in catering, that's very important.
Well, and what happens, what I've experienced before is like, oh, we've got these friends. They own a restaurant. They've offered to cater. Mm-hmm. That is, again, having, if it'd be like, we open the restaurant, nobody comes in. 6 o'clock, 150 people came in and they all want to eat within an hour. That's not what a restaurant typically does. They're not staffed for that. And then now we have to pick up the kitchen, move it to this wedding site, set up a kitchen and operate as a restaurant, feeding 150 people in an hour.
Yes.
Rest again, and not to say anything on the restaurant industry, that's its own challenge, but caterers do that every day, all the time.
They
know what they do. They know what they're doing. They come in, they might have all the stuff you need for a wedding, whereas this restaurant might agree to do it. And then when they get there and they just realize, we've been doing this for 2 hours and a third of the people have gotten their food and they're just like, I'm sorry. And you're like, we're supposed to be doing all this other stuff and we're almost done. Like, so it's just know what you're getting into, I guess, is the underlying theme for this whole thing. Because we've seen it.
Absolutely. One last little topic or vendor category I think that we didn't touch on is hair and makeup, right? This comes up for me sometimes that either the bride and her girls are going to do their own hair and makeup, or they have someone like the person that cuts their hair is going to like do their hair, you know, so maybe they're not a wedding stylist. Just realize that if you invest all this money in professional photo and video, professional hair and makeup kind of goes hand in hand with that, right? Because your usual day-to-day makeup look is not going to look the same in these professional photos. These makeup artists know how to glam you up, give you the look that you want, that will photograph and video well. So that is something just to keep in mind. I know there are plenty of you out there that are fantastic at makeup. I am not, so I am only touching on this briefly. But just realize that if you are going to do your own look, do your research on what will photograph well. Practice. Make sure that you look at videos, however you're going to do that, so that you feel comfortable that day.
Or if you have a friend that's like, oh, my friend does hair and makeup, have a test run before.
Yes.
Because you don't want to have your makeup done and then you look in the mirror and you look like a clown. And I say that because, can I bring it up real quick? I was married once before. My wife went to this thing and she had a test run and she came home and I'm like, what did she do to your, I mean, I swear to God, she looked like a clown. Her rosy red cheeks, her eyes were like way over the top. And I go, what did they do? Like, please, for the love of God,
don't do that.
Fire that person immediately. Do not ever go back there, because you need, that is, If you don't even look like yourself, like that's not right. I mean, well, they want to enhance what you look like,
yes,
and look beautiful, but not like that is never, those colors look terrible on me, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that happens, right? People do the trial and they're like, wow, that is not what I wanted.
Clown face. So, I mean, it was shocking. I didn't even know what to say. I was like, huh, is this a joke? Are you trying to, is there a camera somewhere? Is this a prank? Yeah.
But it's good to find out before, right?
Yes,
because if you find out before, then you can do something about it. So that's our suggestion. Okay, guys, this has been a great episode. I think hopefully it was helpful. Just a little reminder, follow us on TikTok, on Instagram. By the time this episode comes out, I have fingers crossed, our new website will be available. So you can go check out all the new stuff that we have there. But yeah, let's end it.
Just like everything else, it's a very personal day. You want to hire your cousin the DJ? It's your day. You go right ahead. But don't let somebody talk you into something you don't want to do or talk you out of something you have your heart set on. Do you?
Little kisses.
Mwah. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, so thanks for listening to our podcast. If you found any of this information helpful and you know someone who may be engaged or is a maid of honor, maybe you could tell them and share it with a friend.
Absolutely. So screenshot this episode, share it on Instagram, on Facebook, and tag The Wedding Duo. We promise to share the love back. Also, if you are interested in more resources or the show notes, you can go to theweddingduo.co. We have one-on-one virtual sessions, a shop, all sorts of fun stuff. Check it out.